on the bottom of Samach Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara establishes that according to Rabbi Yosef, even though a Gazlan is not Kona B'Shinui, but he's Kona B'Shinui Hashem, even though he's not Kona B'Yeush, excuse me, he's Kona B'Shinui Hashem. And the Gemara asks Akashi of Arei Morish, you have this beam which was stolen, and then the Gazlan used that beam to build a building. Te'ika Shinui Hashem. And yet, the Mishnah says in the Seth Edios that the only reason why the Gazlan doesn't have to return the Morish is because of what's called the Takonis HaShovim. The Meikara Kishura, when he stole it, it was called a Kishura, that's the Aramaic word for a Korah.
Right.
Vahashta, but now that he built it into the building, into the roof, it's called a Tlala, it's called a roof. So therefore, according to Rav Yosef, that maintains that a Gazlan is Kone with Shini Hashem, why then, Vitnan, we learned in the Mishnah, in Edios, this is the Edios of Nechunya, about Morish, Al-Morish, Al-Morish, Ha-Gozil, Shebno, Bibira, Shenotel, Domov, that the Gazlan does not have to return the Morish, this beam, all he has to do is return its Domim, its value, Mipnei Takaris HaShavim, as if to say this was a special Kula that the Chachamim instituted with regard to Gazlanim in order to entice them, to encourage them to do tshuva, that if they built this Gzela into a building, they don't have to take apart the whole building.
That's the
Takana Shavim. That's Takana Shavim. Now we turn to Daf Samach Zayin. Halav Hachi, if not for Takana Shavim, Hadar B'Enei, the Gazan would be required to take apart this building, this structure, and return the beam. Why? He was Kona B'Shinui. That's called Shini Hashem because Meikara. Right. Originally it was called
a board, and now it's
right,
called
exactly, a Kshura. Now it's called a Tlala. Amar Rav Yosef. So the first answer that the Gemara gives is Rav Yosef's answer. He wants to suggest that there's no Shini Hashem in this case.
The same thing like saying is, well, he was assured, he's assured, he was born assured, and
right,
and he remains assured.
And it's very interesting because in the case of Egel Venase Shar, the Gemara proves from Sukkim Tanakh that even a Shar Ben Yomo Kari Shar. So it's very interesting that the halachas of Shini Hashem specifically, are determined by Tanakh. You know, you talk about these days that everyone's studying Tanakh, you know, so that's why we have to study Tanakh. Here also we're going to see that Rav Yosef is going to prove from Tanakh that a Korah, even after Morish, even if it's built into the building, it still retains its status, its shame as a Morish. This Sanya, and this is based on Yechezkel and Navi, he says regarding Vayishlishi, Vitzalos Habayis Veha'ubim. So let's see what these salos are and what these ubin are. So he gets a Mar Nevu, he gets a vision in which he sees the Tzura of the third bias. And the Bryson now explains what's the nature of his vision. Salos Habayis Elu HaMaltitin. Maltitin means those are the boards that they put around the walls. You know, they form like the framework of the walls or of the windows. You know, what we call window frames. Mm-hmm. Those are called Salos. And then we have Ubim. Ubim Elu Hamarishos. These are the beams in the roof of the house. In this case, the house of God, the Bayis Shlishi. But in any event, what we see is that even though it's already been built, because Yechezkel gets a vision of a fully sophisticated building, and yet nevertheless the Pasuk calls it Ubin, which are Marisha, so it still retains its name as a Marisha, as a Marish. I would have said, if not for this sugya, that the definition of Shini Hashem depends upon Lashon B'nei Adam.
Right.
Nobody would refer to a beam once it's built into a building. But for some reason, it seems that Chazal understood that the psukim themselves will determine whether there's a Shini Hashem. Reb Zera says we have to categorize Shini Hashem under two distinct categories. In other words, when Reb Yosef says that a Gazan is Kona v'Shini Hashem, and we'll soon see the case in which Reb Yosef made that statement, it doesn't apply extensively and absolutely to all cases of Shini Hashem. There is a Shini Hashem which is Kona, and that's Rav Yosef. There's a Shini Hashem which is not Kona, and that's going to be the case of Marish. Marish requires Takonas HaShavim because it doesn't fit up, it doesn't size up to the standards of Shini Hashem. And why is that? Because it's a Shinui HaChozer Libriyoso, meaning that you haven't really made an inherent change in the Marish to such extent that it's irreversible. You can take apart the building, and if you remove the screws or the nails that connect one marish to another, you'll end up with a marish. That's called chozer libriyoso.
Right.
That doesn't constitute a shinui. In which case did Rav Yosef say that the galzin is kona with a shinui? Not in the case of marish, but rather in the case of oros. We have hides, and these can be used to make shoes, or alternatively, they could be used as they are, really. You could designate it for a table, or a covering over a table, or maybe a covering over the human body to warm the body. So in such a case, once the oros were designated as what's called an itzba, right? Itzba is the Aramaic word for this table that we spoke about before. That's called a shinui she'eno chozer libriyoso. That's called a shinui liolam. And in such a case, Rav Yosef says that the gazan is kona.
So why is that true?
I don't know why that's true, but let's just understand what the case of Rav Yosef is. Let's say, for example, gazan steals oros. Okay. So the big question is whether those oros are makabel tuma. Remember this.
Right.
The law is that if you have something that's in a raw, it's state. Raw material, right? It's in a raw state.
It's
not yet a kli. It's just the raw materials that will be used to make up a kli. Like, let's say, for example, I have this table, but let's add the wood of the table. The wood of the table is not makabel tumah, because it's not a kli. If I take the wood and I pay a carpenter to build a table, now it's makabel tumah. It has the same kli. In the case of oros, assuming that they're designated for manufacturing of shoes, they don't yet have a same kli. And therefore, if a sheretz falls on the oros, that's raw material, it's not makabel tumah. Unless the owner of the oros decides, what's called yichud kli, he wants to use it as is. He doesn't see it as a raw material that makes up a manufacturing, but rather it's already a complete kli, it's functional in his eyes right now as is. If a gazlan steals oros, then the Mishnah establishes that once the gazlan designates, I'm saying if the gazlan already designates the oros for an itzba, then it's makabel tumah. Why? Because once he designated it as an itzba, it's already a Shinui Hashem. So Rav Yosef explains that with Shinui Hashem, a gazlan is kona. Once a gazlan is kona, then he has the ability to generate the shem kli in such a way that now will be makabel tumah. For some reason, the Gemara assumes that once you designate it as such, it's already an itzba, meaning it already has like a market value. And that Shini Hashem is a Shini She'eno Chozer Liola. Because again, we're not talking about a Shini Hashem in the structure or in the Tzura of the object. If it's in the Tzura of the object, then everything is reversible. You can always say, well, I built it into this Tzura, but now I can reverse it back to its original Tzura. But when it comes to a Shini Hashem, which is based on designation, then the name itself is the Shinui. In other words, at the very moment that he says this is an Itzba, it's not just an Oros, it's not an Or, it's Itzba, that itself is a Shini Hashem. And therefore, Rav Yosef says, he's Kona. Okay, Rabosai, now I want to discuss with you Mikvos. Now, I don't know much about Mikvos, but I do know something about Shini Hashem. According to Rav Yosef, when a Gazlan steals something and there's a Shinui Shem, then once the original name of the Nigzal is gone, of the Chayfetz Nigzal is gone, then Ve'eshev Zagzela Sher Gazal no longer applies. And therefore the Gazlan is Kone B'Shini Hashem. That's Rabbi Yosef Shita. L'chora, the Yesoda Yesodos of Shini Hashem is that the original object is completely gone. In other words, Ve'eshev Zagzela, I have to return the Gzela that I stole. But if that object is gone with the wind, it went up in smoke, then you can't be Mechayev me to return the object. That's the Kinyan of Shini Hashem. Once the new identity emerges, the old identity is gone. Again, if it's Eino Chozel B'Yos or whatever it might be, and the Gazlan now acquires ownership on this object. So the Gemara makes a very sharp move here, and in Lomdus, I think it's something that we have to think about, you know, to inculcate this methodology into our very system. The Gemara wants to say that if Rav Yosef accepts that a Gazan can be Kona B'Shini Hashem because there's a new identity that emerges, we should be able to apply that logic umetum, as we say. In other words, outside of the strict, you know, limited reins and role and relevance of Gzela. It's not a Gzela halacha. It's not halacha in Hilchas HaShavas HaGzela or Kinyon Gzela. It's halacha in how to define an object. If that be the case, then perhaps we can, just as a phrase, you know, just to understand the methodology that underlies Shinui Kona, we can use the phrase Panim Chadoshes Bo'u Lakan. Where does that phrase come from? Masechta Ksuvos, the sugya of Sheva Brachos. The halacha is that during Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, every simcha, every mishteh, every suda that's set up in honor of the Chosu Caliph, the 10 men that are there, you mevarech Sheva Brachos. But the Gemara adds a t'nai. We've got to have Ponim Chadoshes.
Right.
Ponim Chadoshes means a new identity. You know, I'm just using it as a phrase. According to Rav Yosef, once there's a Shini Hashem, we have Ponim Chadoshes. We have a whole new identity that emerges. And the Mefarshim talk about Yaakov Avinu, you know, after Hashem changed his name to Yisrael, whether or not he's a new person, and so forth and so on, based on Shini Hashem. We have also a din of Panim Chadoshes with regard to Efer HaNisrafim. Like, for example, the Torah says that this is also by Noah, but you have to burn it. Once it's burnt, then the ashes no longer maintain that same status as the original object. And the Yisrael HaNos Paka. That's also a kind of Shini Hashem. Panim Chadoshes Bo'u Lakan. How is it relevant to Mikvos? So what we're learning now is the third parak in Mikvos. The third parak in Mikvos is dedicated to what's called the psul of Shlosha Lugim Mayim Sheuvim. Right, the shear of Mikvos is 40 saw. And let's say you have 39 saw, or for that matter you have 37 saw, and then you pour in Mayim Sheuvim. Mayim Sheuvim means water that comes into the mikvah through a kli. And if it's Gimel Lugim, which is Kedei Rechitzas Rov Gufo Shel Adam, then the Rabbanon, and we'll see why, but the Rabbanon instituted a psul in this mikvah, even if afterwards you throw into this mikvah another three Lugim of Mayim She'enom She'uvim. Let's say, for example, you have rainwater that comes down, and now you have 40 saw of May mikvah, but nevertheless, since May Mayim She'uvim, three lugim of Mayim She'uvim came into the mikvah before such time as the mikvah was complete in the shear of 40 saw, that is possible. Now, why did the Rabbanan institute this psul called Gimel Lugim Mayim She'uvim? So in order to answer that question, we really have to ask a more, shall we say, fundamental question. Let's say I fill up a mikvah with 40 saw of Mayim She'uvim. The whole mikvah is made up of Mayim She'uvim. So we're going to see Rashi here, I underlined it here, on our page, and other Rishonim disagree. Is that mikvah posel d'oraisa or posel d'rabbana? Meaning, if you have a kli, and you put 40 saw of water into a kli, that's not a mikveh. That certainly is not mei mikveh. That's mayim shenikvim b'toch kli. That's possible with the raisa, less man de polig. That's a milstab shita. But if on the other hand you have a real mikveh, but the mikveh water came through pipelines, right, through kalim, then some Rishonim will say that since it's made up totally of Mayim She'uvim, that's not called a mikveh, and we'll see, it all depends upon how to read a pasuk. And other Rishonim will say, no, it's a kosher mikveh, because after all, it's in a mikveh. Ella what? It came through Mayim She'uvim, and that's a psul d'rabbanan. If I assume that a mikveh that's made up totally, exclusively of Mayim She'uvim is possible with the Raisa, then I understand very well why the Gemara took Gimel, this shear of Gimel Lugim of Mayim Shuv, and they said that passes a mikveh. Why? Because once you have Kedei Rechitza in Gimel Lugim, then maybe tomorrow he's going to expand and expand and expand until the Mayim Shuvim fills up the entire mikveh. Once we allow him to fill a part of the mikveh with Mayim Shuvim, then he may come tomorrow and fill in the entire mikveh Mayim Shuvim. But again, that makes sense only if I assume that a mikveh that's made up of Mayim Shuvim exclusively is possible with the Raisa. The Rabbanan said that even though this mikveh has 40 sof mayim that aren't shuvim, that lets it's possible, because we're afraid once we allow you to mix in mayim shuvim, tomorrow maybe you'll decide, hey, let's make a mikveh out of mayim shuvim. So we want to exclude any significant volume of mayim shuvim. Okay. Now, given that background, let's understand the difference between the following two cases. One case is called Chakako Ulabasof Kavo, and one case is called Kavo Ulabasof Chakako. So what are these two cases? We're talking now about pipes. Now, pipes are made from wood, and then you hollow out the wood. Now, a kli is something that is tolish menakarka. A kli cannot be something that's mechubar lakarka. Anything that's part of the karka is called ara desmichta, means an extension of the karka. Even though, again, what did you do? You took a piece of wood. But if you take a piece of wood and you attach it into the ground, it becomes mechubar lakarka, and it's karka. It's not a kli. So what did he do? There's mayim coming through these pipes. These are wooden pipes that were made from raw material, from raw natural wood, in which he hollowed out the wood. How did he construct this pipeline system? If he first put the eitzim in their raw natural state into the ground, and then he drilled holes into the eitzim and hollowed them out, that's called in the language of the Mishnah, Kavo Ulubasov Chakako. Then ostensibly one could argue that since it's been Mechubar LaKarka, even before he hollowed out this wood, it's already Ara Smichta, it already loses its shame Kli, and it has a shame Karka. Can I engender a shame Karka once it's already called Karka? So that's going to be the subject of this Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following: Shinui Hashem Sheinu Chozer L'Briyosu Mi'Avi Shinui. Are you telling me, the way Rav Zera understood Rav Yosef, that if it's a real, bona fide, permanent Shinui, and the name is unchangeable, irreversible, then it's a Shinui, and then we apply the principle of Parim Chadoshos Bo'olakan, and therefore there's no Beheshev Zagzela Sher Gozal? Varet Sinar, let's take the case of a Sinar. Now, Sinar, which is a Hebrew word, has an Aramaic term which is called Ktsitzta. Ktsitzta miloshon Ktsitzta means that he cut off a branch or a tree in such a way that he's left with wood. Okay. So before he hollows out this wood, Meikara, originally, Ktsitzta, it's called a Ktsitzta. It's called a cut piece of wood. It's a raw material. Vahashta, but now that he hollows it out, the name changes, and it's called Tsinora. very interesting. The Aramaic is exactly the same as the Hebrew in this case. Even in modern Hebrew, we talk about it Sinar, or in the Mishnah's Hebrew. Okay. So let's, you know, given this introduction, that the raw material, which is called a Sinar, changes its name, it changes its identity. Once you hollow it out, and it becomes now not Kitzitzta, but Sinora, and Panim Chadosh, according to Rav Yosef Bolakan, it's a new entity. But now we can work Lechumra. What do I mean Lechumra? If he puts down these raw materials into the ground and then hollows it out subsequently, in other words, if he started with Kvius to be Kovea, the Tzinar, and then subsequent to that, he was Mechokek, he was Chokek, he hollowed out this Tzinar, then according to Rav Yosef, we have a serious problem with the water that enters into the mikveh through this Tzinar. Why? Because although it didn't have a Shem Kli, when he was Kovea the Tzinar in the Karka, because it's Mechubal Karka, but now that he hollows it out, it becomes a Kli. No, you'll tell me, but how can it become a Kli? It's Mechubal Karka. The answer is Panim Chadosh is Bo'ol Karka. And that's going to be the kasha from the Sefer of this price.
Wait a minute, what about the other way around?
The other way around is the Reisha. So let's read the Bryce inside, and then Alan, you'll tell me what you have in mind. Vesanya, let's read the Bryce. Tzinar Shechokako. Here's the first case. Where are we? We're on Daf Samech Zayin Amid Aleph. Let me just see how many lines down from the top. Yeah, it should be about 8 lines down from the top, maybe? 7 lines down?
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Thank you. So now we have a case of Tzinar Shechakoko. In other words, before he laid it down in the ground so that the rainwaters would seep through it into the mikvah, he hollowed it out. Knew if he hollowed it out, even before he put it to the ground, it has a shame. It has a shame kli. Ulevesof, after he hollowed it out, koko. You know, it's like you pay electricity, he puts the pipes in, right? Or whatever you pay, you know. Oh. So the Bryce is Mechadish the following. That this is not called Mechubal Karka. Why isn't it called Mechubal Karka? Because if the Kli continues to function in the Karka as a Kli, it retains its own status as a Kli. It's therefore Posel Es HaMikveh. Meaning, if 3 lugim of Mayim She'uvim pass through, well, I shouldn't say Mayim She'uvim because it's 3 lugim of Mayim, that pass through these pipes into the mikveh, carrying the water to the mikveh, those 3 lugim of mayim become mayim she'uvim. Why? Because any water that enters into the mikveh through a kli is called mayim she'uvim. And therefore, posel es ha-mikveh. You'll ask me, why should a posel the mikveh? It's mechubal karka. The answer is, it's not mechubal karka if it already had an independent shame kli, and it now is not bottled the karka because it's still functioning as such. But kavo, if he first placed it down into the whatchamacallit, attach it into the ground, and therefore what? It's ki'ara smichta dami. Ulevasof chakko, then he drills a hole, hollowing out the inside of this tzinar, is then eno posos a mikvah. Why? Because it's karka, and it's not kli. It's not mayim shuvah when the waters come through, because it's not coming through a kli. Now that you were mechaber to the karka before it became a kli, then it becomes karka, and it never emerges as a kli. The chalus shame kli is not chal because it's mechubal karka. Frek the Gemara, I don't understand. You just told me, Rav Yosef, that a shini shena chozer is kone, the armet shini Hashem milsehi. Again, interesting how the Gemara changes its language. Very clever. The Gemara doesn't say shini Hashem kone, because that's not what we're talking about here. We're not learning Hilchas Kinyanin.
Right.
What we're learning here is milsehi. Milsehi means that it's a brand new object, a new identity has emerged. Panu Chadosh is Bolakan. If that be the case, afilu kavol b'sof chakako, the Gemara has a kasha l'chumra. Now Rav Yosef should be machmir here to tell me that even though he first began with an eitz meaning raw material and he put it down into the karka, but nevertheless, once he drills the hole in the basof chakako, he now has created a kli. No, but you'll tell me, but when he put it down, it was batel a karka and that is shame karka. The answer is that's something else. That's an identity that doesn't exist in the world. It went up in smoke. Why? Because you hold Rav Yosef of Shini Hashem and may kara kari tzinora or tzitzta and hashta kari tzinora. Now it has a new identity.
That's
a brilliant kasha. Again, I have such kishmak from this kasha. It's mayin olam haba.
Kasha is good, except it seems like for reasons that you don't even have to explain, that karka, anything that is doma la karka, trumps everything. Because you see a bias or anything else that's mechuba la karka, I mean, it clearly is a bias, but it has a din karka. In the same way, it sounds like karka is somehow protected from anything else. You can't be mishana anything that has a din, as a name karka, because otherwise
that could be a good opinion, but that's not the opinion of the Gemara. The Gemara thinks that if you dig out a kli from an object that's mechuba l'karka, if you hold shinui is kona, which means that shinui emerges a new identity, so that which you put into the karka enochinami is karka, but that which you put into the karka doesn't exist anymore, and in its place you have something new, and that something brand new is a kli.
So according to the Gemara, either way, this doesn't work.
Yeah, the Gemara says the following: Mimonavshach. It should always be gimel mayim shuvim pasling b'kli. Why? It was a kli to begin with, and it continues to function as a kli after you establish it. What's the word I'm looking for? After you form it into the karka,
when you dig it into the ground, right?
You attach it to the ground. Then, since it's still functioning as a kli, it was a kli and it remains a kli. If, on the other hand, it had a status of karka before it made a kli, then now it should be a kli because you've created a kli, and that which was attached to the karka is no longer in existence. And the Gemara is so impressed by this logic that the Gemara says there's no way out of this. Unless you introduce the fact that Gimel Shuvim, Gimel Lugim, Mayim Shuvim is only a Psulder Abmona. And if it's a Psulder Abmona, the regulations of the game change. Let's read it inside. E Amit Shini Hashem Milsi is Afilu Kvo Ulabasov Chakoko Nami Liposil. And for the Gemara, Shani Sheiva, the Psul of Mayim Sheuvim is different than Midrabbanan. He, the whole business is Midrabbanan, and therefore the Rabbanan can decide when it applies and when it doesn't apply. Again, if you have a mikvah that's completely made of Mayim Sheuvim, that could be possible in a Torah. We'll see this in Rashi in a minute. And then, if you have a mikveh that's made up of 40 sov mayim she'enom shuvim, it's kosher min haTorah. But the Rabbanan said if you add gimel luga mayim shuvim before it reached the level of 40 sov, it's possible with Rabbanan. The Rabbanan decided that if it doesn't look like a kli, and why doesn't it look like a kli? Because it was bottled to the karka. We're not going to say now that it's a psul mayim shuvim because it's in a kli. In other words, on a doraisa level, enochinami, the shame kli has emerged, and therefore it certainly would be mayim shuvim. Which means, rabosai, if 40 sah would go through this kavol of a sof chakako into a mikvah, that would certainly be possible with the raisa. Less mind the polik. And now we're talking about a case where it's kosher even lechatchila. We went from one polik extreme to the other. Why? Because all you have here is gimel lugim mayim she'uvim. Gimel lugim mayim she'uvim. Why is it she'uvim? Because it's a kli? The Rabbanan are going to say we don't recognize this as a kli. Why did the Rabbanan say we don't recognize that as a kli? Because basically it's karka. Again, Alpidin, it's not karka, but we view it as karka because it had a shame karka before the shame kli emerged. Whenever the shame karka predates the shame kli, the Rabbanan are going to say, we are mevater, we throw up our hands, and we're willing to look the other way, there's no psul of Mayim Shuvim. How did the Rabbanan have the authority to do so? That's called Heimomer Heimomer. Since the whole psul from A to Z of Mayim Shuvim is only the Rabbanan, they invented it, they came out with the following formula. We're not going to recognize this shame kli of something that was originally karka and then subsequently became a kli, and therefore we're not going to apostle the mikvah b'toris mayim she'uvim when the waters come through. And by the way, I have no doubt in my mind, again, this is something that maybe you would hear elsewhere today, you know, if you were in a different part of the greater Yerushalayim, is that historically the Rabbanan probably had a pressing need for this kula, because they always had to come up with some ingenious method of circumventing the psul of Mayim Shuvim, because they always had to guarantee some mechanics that the waters could come into the mikvah. And how do you get the water into the mikvah without bringing it and being shoef it, you know, drawing it through kalim? But the problem is, once you're drawing it through kalim, you get involved in the problem of the psul of Mayim Shuvim. So the answer is, what we're going to do is, we're going to make sure these kalim are bottled to the karka. So Rabbanan said, hold on, let's not get too carried away. If you take a keli and then you want to be mavatl to the karka, that you can't do, because it's still functioning as a kli. That's a psul of Mayim Shuvim. That far we're not going to go. But we're going to allow you the following mechanics, the following engineering ingenuity. What we're going to tell you to do is place down the wood or the raw material that's going to eventually become tsinoros, let it be bottled to the karka before the shem kli emerges, and then we're going to say we're not going to recognize that shem kli. That's the mechanics that the Rabbanu want to allow to facilitate drawing water into a mikvah through tsinoros. Even though these tsinoros lechora are kalim, and therefore what? To be a psul of gimel, lugim, mayim, shuvim. Not in every case, but in some cases, the Rabbanu are going to say we're going to look the other way. We're not going to recognize the shame kli. Why? Because when you put it into the ground, it wasn't a kli.
Are you? Let me go back. I want to make sure you didn't say something that I don't understand. You say the Rabbanan, there is a din of Mayim Shuvim is Doraisa. I mean,
that we'll see soon whether Mayim Shuvim is Doraisa.
Even our Memsah, I'm talking about.
Even our Memsah is a fundamental machlok, because the Rambam holds that there's no psul doraisa of Mayim Shuvim, even on Mem Sah. The Rambam holds, as long as it's a mikvah, you can draw the water from Shamayim into this mikvah on a doraisa level through Kalim.
You mean as long as there's a right. that holds Mem Sah, you can all
correct.
Mayim Shuvim.
As long as it's a mikvah in the karka. You know, again, well, give me 5 minutes because okay. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but let's assume that 40 Sah of Mayim Shuvim is doraisa, not like the Rambam, like Rashi Shita, which we're going to prove from Rashi here, Bava Kama, what his Shita is. And then the Rabbanan instituted a psul of Mayim Shuvim with Gimel Lugim. So the Rabbanan say Gimel Lugim is only through a kli. If you made the kli inside the karka, figuratively, right, then that's not a kli. Okay. Even though on a derais level it is a kli. And therefore, if Lu Yitzuyer, you were to pull this shtick in order to fill up an empty mikvah, then at least according to Rashi, that would be possible with the raisa, because it has a shame kli. Why does it have a shame kli? Because panim chadashos bo
l'kai. Yeah, but it wouldn't be deraisa anyways, because the man that holds that shuvim is all the rabbanim.
No, that's the Rambam Shita. That's why I just said, you know, again, I don't want to confuse you with the Rambam Shita.
No,
but let's assume Rashi Shita that if you have 40 saw of mayim shuvim, that's a psul deraisa. So the Rabbanan instituted a gzera to apostle a mikvah that has gimel lugim mayim shuvim,
right.
But what the Gemara is now being mechadish in order to interpret the Mishnah in the third parak of Mikvos is that the Rabbanan utilized their authority to put limitations into that psul.
On that particular type,
right? In this scenario where he was kavo ulvasof chakako, then the Rabbanan say we're not going to impose our psul Rabbanan and call it Mayim Shuvim. It's not a kli. Again, even though technically it really is a kli, in order to square with Rav Yosef Shit of Shidui of Shini's Panim Chadoshes. In fact, the Gemara, if you're already going with the Rabbanan, let's go all the way. If the Rabbanan want to be make here, why couldn't they go one step further and say that even you a chakako will a self kavo, that's also not a kli, because a self kavo means you put it in the karka. In fact, the Gemara Yehachi Afilu Dereisha, even in the case of Chakako Ulebasov Kavo Nami, they should also be able to look the other way and say, you know what? They took this tzinar, they will convey the tzinar into the karka, and let's wave the psul derabanan and consider it like karka. Says the Gemara, ha, some over there in that case in the Reisha, Ika Toras Kli Alav Bitalush. Before you put it into the ground, it was a Kli.
Right.
It was a full fledged Tzinor, you hollowed it out. Is there a Rabbanan not going to say in such a case that it's not Mayim Shehuvim? You started your whole procedure by taking a Kli. Don't play games with me. That Kli is a Kli. It always was a Kli. It always remains a Kli. Hacha, but here in the Sefer, what's unique about the Sefer? Where he took the Tzinar and he was Kovet before it was a Tzinar. Ain Toras Kli Alav B'Tolush. At least you have to admit to me that Kol Zman it was Tolush, it was raw material, it was Eitz, it was an unfinished product, it was not a Kli. So the Rabbanan waited a step further and they said, you know what? If you take something that's not a Kli and you covey in the karka, now make it into a Kli. And we're going to look the other way and make believe it's not a Kli, and we're going to disqualify the psul of, or bracket the psul of Mayim, or suspend the psul of Mayim She'uvim. However, if you start with a Torah's Kli and now you put it into the karka, don't come and tell me that it's not a Kli. That's Mayim She'uvim. Now, in order to understand the machlokas Rashi and the Rambam that I indicated before about whether a mikveh made up of mayim she'uvim, totally made up of mayim she'uvim, is pasuk d'oraisa or pasuk d'rabbanan, we have to quote a pasuk. So if you have a chumash, if not, you can listen bal peh. It's vayikra yud'alef pasuk lamed vav. It says the following. This is in the parish of Tumah Shrotzim. It says, ach mayon ubar mikveh mayim yetah. It's interesting. The pasuk has two parts to it. Part number one is called a mayon. We call it a spring in English, I think.
Right.
And the second part of the pasuk is called bar mikvah mayon. Oh. So what are these two categories? So we have a comment, the most important comments in Tumah Vitara, and all of Seder Taras, really, we think they come from Shas. They really don't come from Shas. They come from the Torah's Kohen, from the Sifra. So Torah's Kohen says the following. There's a mayon and there's a bar mikvah mayon, and the Torah combines them in the same breath. That's what we call smichus. Ma mayon asiyoso bideisha mayim. A mayon is totally natural. Af mikvah. What is a mikvah in the same breath as a mayon? It's also mayim shed nikvu bideisha mayim. Velo. What's this coming to exclude? Nishpichu mayim lesocho havishuvim bit mitoch kelim. In other words, the brisa in Toras Kohanim is explicit in its equation between its smichus aparshis between a mikvah and a mayon, that if the mikvah waters came through she'uvim, nishpichu, again the language of the Sifra, mimayim she'uvim, it's possible. The kan nechleku rishon. Rashi holds, as we'll soon see, that, just one second, okay, I always get myself lost here, sorry. Okay, bear with me for just a minute. So wait a minute, but let me backtrack for a minute and cross out Rashi for a second. And instead of Rashi, I'm going to plug in Tosfos. Okay, because I'm not sure now about the Rashi. Okay, hopefully I'll be able to clarify Rashi in a minute. But just that we don't hold up in time, I just want to say the following. Tosfos. Okay, now Tosfos is not here, but he's elsewhere in Shas. He holds that a mikvah that's completely mayim shuvim is possible in a Torah. Why? He took this Torah's Kohanim literally, and he understood that this Torah's Kohanim is not some sort of an asmachta, but it's a drosha gmura min a Torah. And therefore the psul of mayim shuvim is da'oraisa. The Rambam Shita is that a mikvah mayim of mayim she'uvim is not posel midoraisa, but it's only possible midorabbanan. And the drasha of the Torah's Kohanim is an asmachta. Why did the Torah's Kohanim and the Rambam's Psak institute this psul derabbanan of mayim she'uvim? Gzeira shem yavo litbol betoch kelim. They won't even use mikvos anymore. They'll go into bathtubs. When I say bathtubs, I don't mean a bathtub that's mechubel karka. You know, in the old times, they used to have these... What do they call it? A tub.
It's just a
stand-up tub, if you know what I mean, right? Did you ever see it? I mean, I don't know, you probably don't remember these movies from 50 years ago. They used to show you they used to take a bath in a big barrel. Exactly. A big barrel is pasul d'oraisa. We're talking about a real bona fide mikveh that's in the karka, but the mayim comes into the mikveh through kelim. And let's say this mikveh is made up totally of 40 sav mayim she'uvim. The Rambam says that's only a psul d'rabbana, because tomorrow he's going to jump into a barrel of 40 sav. Okay? So that's called gzeira shem yavo litbo betoch kelim. And the drush is only nesmachta. That's the opinion of the Rambam. Who disagrees with the Rambam? I told you it was Tosfos. So again, Tosfos and Bava Basra quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the psul of Mayim She'uvim based on this Torah's Kohanim is Doraisa. It's also the opinion of the Rashmi Shantz at the beginning of a Masechta Mikvos. And it's also the opinion, I thought it was Rashi, of the Rashbam in Bava Basra Samach Vav Amin Aleph. A mikvah shekulo mayim she'uvim. This mikvah was filled up with mayim she'uvim. Is posel min ha-Torah. That's the shita of the Rashbam, of Rabbeinu Tam, and of the Rashmi Shantz. The Rambam holds that mayim she'uvim is only a psul dirabonon. Okay, Rabbosai, let's now start, if you will, the sugya of yesh. Now, what we have to know about Yeush is that Yeush is kone in Aveda midoraisa. However, whether or not Yeush is kone in Gzela is a big controversy. Correct? You're familiar with this?
Been doing it for the last 4 days.
Okay, good. So according to the sheet of Rabbah, Yeush is kone in Gzela. According to Rav Yosef, Yeush is not kone in Gzela. Now, according to Rabbah, that Yeush is Kohen Gzela, we don't know, Rabbah himself doesn't know, whether it's Doraisa or Derabbanan.
It's not Rabbah, it's Rav, isn't it?
It was Rav? I thought it was Rabbah.
It was Rav.
Take a look, it should be on Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, just double check me. I remember it as Rabbah. Okay? Meisve, let's look at this Braisa now. Hagano Vagazlon Veha'anos. We want to focus now on Ganov and Gazlan. Anos is a case of someone who forces a person to sell him, but he pays for it. Okay, that's called a Chamsan. Okay, that's a Sugyan Bav Mitzia, not for us. But what we want to focus on is Ganov and Gazlan. And the Brisa says, Higdishan Hegdish, Trumasan Truma, Masrosov Maser. If the Gazlan or the Ganov goes ahead and he's magdish, let's say he stole an animal, he's magdish from his bear, then the hegdish is chal. If he stole, let's say, chitim, and he was mafresh truma, the truma is truma. And obviously, if a zar, non-kohen, eats the truma, he's chal misu v'dei shamayim. If he takes peros that he stole, and he's mafresh maser from them, they have the status of maser. Wait a minute. How could this be? Bishlema, according to, I call it Rabbah, that Rabbah holds that Yeush is Kone. The Brisa is addressing the case where the Gazlan or the Ganav stole something and the Bailim were Misyayish. Therefore, the Gazlan is Kone. B'Yeush. Once the Gazlan is Kone B'Yeush, he can now go ahead and be Magdishit, he can be Mafresh Truma, Mafresh Masros. Great. But according to Rav Yosef, who holds that Yeush is not Kone in Gneva and Gzela, is then I don't understand how could this Brisa validate the hegdesh, the truma, the maaser of the gazlan. It's not his. I can't be magdish something that's not mine. Ain other magdish dover shen shalom. I can't be mafrish truma or maaser if it's not mine. So this is going to be a pella on Rav Yosef Shita. Here's an explicit brisa that Yeish is kone. Amri, the Gemara says, don't get all upset and don't get all excited about it. Hasan, the brisa, is not just based on Yeish, but Ika Shini Hashem. And as we said before, Rav Yosef says that Shini Hashem, Ponim Chadoshes Bolakan, is a Kenyan. In Xelevation is exhaust no longer Shagazal. Now, why is this Shini Hashem? The Mikara Tivla, the Hashta Truma, Mikara Hegdish, the Hashta, Mikara Chulin, the Hashta Hegdish. The Gemara says this is a clear cut case of Shini Hashem. Now, Rabosai, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Igdishon Hegdish, the Asur Lehenos. Hegdesh is Asur Banor. Wait a second. Forget about it. Forget about Asur Banor. Why does Rashi have to stretch his arm out to Asur Banor? Rashi should have simply said that if the behema is royal mizbeach, meaning there's no other psul, it's not a balmum or anything like that, then he brings it on the mizbeach. So Tosis is medayik from this Rashi, that Rashi holds that in this brisa, the behemoth is not ruil mizbeach. That power the gazlan doesn't have. He cannot create a hegdesh that would allow the behemoth to be brought on the mizbeach.
That's just carbonate.
And as a result, Rashi is forced into a pickle over here, and Rashi has to rack his brains and figure out, so why, to what extent or in what context is this hegdesh meaningful? And the answer is, it's meaningful to engender an Iser Hegdesh. However, as far as a Kashrus L'Mizbeach is concerned, there is no Kashrus L'Mizbeach. Why not? So there's a Tosus here, Dirim Aschel Omar, which is a gigantic Tosus. We would need at least a month to do justice to this Tosus. But Tosus basically argues the following. That there's something called mitzvah habab avera, and a carbon that became royal mizbeach through an avera is posel mizbeach because of mitzvah habab avera. Now watch what happens over here in our case. A gazlan steals a behema, and he's kona b'yeish. This kinyan came about as a result of his avera of gzela. Correct? So therefore, this behema should be posel mizbeach b'toras mitzvah haba be'aver. Oh. Says Tosfos, in the name of the Ri, that this all depends on the machlokas between Abaye and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef holds that Yeush itself is not a kinyan. So why is this hegdesh chal? It's only chal because of the combination of Yeush and Shini Hashem. Correct? As the Gemara is going to answer now, let's go over the Gemara one more time. Amri, Hasam Ika Shini Hashem, the Meikara Tivla, Vahashta Truma. Or Meikara Hegdesh is Meikara Chulin, Vahashta Hegdesh. That's for Rav Yosef. Rashi wants to square with Rav Yosef. According to Rav Yosef, that Yeush is not a kinyan. So then the kinyan itself was clinched through the Shini Hashem, meaning by making it Hegdesh. If the Shem Hegdesh is a result of the fact that he stole the object, that's a psul of mitzvah baba vera. Says the Ri, Masha Einkein, if we were to hold like Rabba that Yeush Bichdi, Yeush alone, is Kona and Gzela, then it's no longer mitzvah baba vera. Because I don't need the gazlan creating a Shini Hashem in order to make this animal his so that he can be Magdashit L'Mizbeach. It's his by virtue of the fact that the Nigzal was Misyayesh. Rashi wants to square with Rav Yosef, and therefore he asks himself the question, does that mean that the behemoth is kshir l'mizbeach? Well, according to Rav Yosef, we established that the behemoth is not kshir l'mizbeach. Why? Because Rav Yosef needs also shinui Hashem. As a result, it's a psul of mitzvah habah ba'avera, says Rashi. So what is this din that hegdesh on hegdesh? It cannot be that it's kosher l'mizbeach mitzvah habah ba'avera. So Rashi says there's another din of the iser hegdesh. In other words, the shame hegdesh could be chal by virtue of yeush and shini hashem, even according to Rav Yosef. And therefore, once the shame hegdesh is chal, it's osur banah. But the positive dimension of hegdesh, meaning that now the animal could be brought in the mizbeach, that already smacks up against the principle of mitzvah bav avera. Rashi is very consistent. Look at the next Rashi, trumason osur lazarin. Why did Rashi have to say that truma is also a zarim? Why didn't you say that the truma is truma and there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to give it to the kohen and the kohen will eat it b'kedusha b'tara? Why did Rashi have to whittle down this discussion to the iser zarim? And the answer is again because we're going according to Rav Yosef. And according to Rav Yosef, when the gazlan steals the chitim and he's kona through shini Hashem, it becomes a mitzvah boba vera. Yes, he can be mechil ashamed truma, but there will be no mitzvah that you could fulfill with this truma. So this truma is in this suspended state, like the hegdish that we had before, in which on the one hand it has a shame hegdish, shame truma, and that engenders the iser anah, or in the case of truma, the iser lezariv. But on the other hand, mitzvah so he cannot fulfill because that would be a mitzvah habah b'aveira.
Why do you have to come to that altogether? Because when you think you make hegdish, should we talk about kedushas mizbeach as opposed to kedushas berakabayis? So you're talking about something. There are psukim that make it that says korbano and so forth, which Rava brings down that it has to be definitely his. Yeush can never be. You can never prove it's definitely his because you don't know yeush unless the man stands in front of you and says I'm a yeush. It's an assumption.
Right, so it's true, Alan, that there are brisos that maintain that yeush is not going to be enough to be machshir the carbon.
Yeah, I know that.
But this brisa is not in the same ilk. This brisa reflects the opinion that yeush is enough to generate an absolute kinyan so that he can be magdish the animal. And that psul of carbono is not accepted by this brisa. So when we get to the brisa of carbono, then you'll be able to ask your question. Okay. But right now, this brisa maintains that yeush is enough to be kona.
It's enough to...
No, if yeush is enough to be kona, so why isn't the animal kosher l'mizbeach? Why does Rashi have to tell me that the animal is osur banah?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's why does Rashi have to come to mitzvah bava avera? All you have to do is say that korban itself to come onto the mizbeach already is a higher degree. We have to know that there's a definite that he is definitely 100% that he is the baal
right.
You can say it's very nice to say that yeush is kona
right.
for everything in the world that you want it to be kona, but it's not. But it's still based on an assumption. It's based on assumption. He was miyayish. Nobody ever heard the man say that he was miyayish. Therefore, it'll never come onto the mizbeach. It remains kodesh. It remains osabah noah. But you can't bring it on a mizbeach.
So that question depends on a machlokas tanoim about gnev and gzela. It's very interesting. Our rice has both gnev and gzela. But if you recall, it's machlokas tanoim. As to which case there is yeush, according to one sheet in Tanoim, that's Reb Shimon. Once it was stolen by a gazlan who had a frontal confrontation with the nigzal, then it's automatically yeush. Why? Because the nigzal realized he doesn't have a chance to face up against the gazlan. The chachamim, on the other hand, say just the opposite. Once they've seen the face of the gazlan, he's wanted, dead or alive. They'll track him down. But in the case of a gneva, then we say stam gneva's yeish bailin because the bailin don't even have a clue how to find the guy. So again, why this brisa? This is a major subject in the Rishonim. Why the brisa combines both ganav and gazlan? But let's assume that ganav and gazlan here in the brisa means market islay umarket islay. You know, the brisa wants to avoid the machlokes between Reb Shimon and Chachamim. But in any case, we're talking about there's a definite assumption of yeish. It's not that we're coming up and we're saying, well, was he Messiah? Will he be Messiah or not?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to say the very fact the very fact that there is such a machlokas tells you this is just an ukimta, that we're assuming chazaka that a person would be but it's not definite. It's not 100%.
Well, the halacha operates with chazaka. I mean, we're about to start Masechta Nida. The whole Masechta is based on chazaka. Chazaka generates a din vada,
but not on a misbeah. But a misbeah, it says
again, the man is looking the gazlan in the eyes and he's misyayish. That's the way the halacha operates.
Okay,
let's say he said it. If that makes you happy,
yeah.
So again, I'm not questioning that he was kone. And according to Rabbah, he can certainly be magdish the korban l'mizbeach. That's not an issue. What I want to know is, why did Rashi insist on saying that it's osur b'hanah? And the answer that we're suggesting, based on the Ri, is that Rashi is trying to interpret this brisa in light of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef holds that yeish b'chdi is not enough to be konim gzela. You need yeish plus shini Hashem. If you need yeish plus shini Hashem, then you have another problem here. If you want to bring this carbon on the mizbeach, you have an issue called mitzvah bavavir. So that's what this tosis is all about. I'm just pointing it out. If you and Ari have another month to put into it and figure out the whole sugya mitzvah baba vera, that would be great. What's the source for the kinyan shinui? And now we're talking about the classical case of kinyan shinui, not this case of shinui shame, but real shinui. Real shinui means shinui maisa, what we call, right? Omrav chizom rav yom minayin l'shinui shu konish nemar veheishiv is like zelo asher gozal. The Torah could have said veheishiv is like zelo. Why did it have to add matam alom asher gozal, the extra two words? And the answer is to make the following stipulation: im ke'en she'gozal, then there's a chiyuv hashava yachzir. Im lav domim bi'alma boy shlume, now that he changed the object and it's no longer the object that he stole, asher gozal, it's no longer ke'en she'gozal, he's kone and he doesn't have to return the object. We'll soon see that there's another Lishna of Rav Chizna, the name of Rav Yonasan, that comes to the exact opposite conclusion, that Shini is not Kona. Frekti Gemari, hi Asher Gozal, what do you tell me? You need the Asher Gozal to establish Shinu. I need it for something else. And now we go back to the parish of Chomesh that we discussed at great length yesterday. Mi boi lima ute gezel aviv. What happens if the father stole? He took a shvuas sheker, then he died. Now, with regard to the father, we have three different elements. We've got, as we discussed at great length, Keren, Chomesh, and Osham. Well, the son does not inherit the chiyuv Osham. He didn't take the shvuas sheker. That's clear. As far as Keren is concerned, he's holding on to someone else's money. He has to return that. But what about Chomesh? The Torah says that Chomesh is being paid to the Nigzal. Well, if Chomesh is being paid to the Nigzal, then maybe the son should likewise pay the extra Chomesh to the Nigzal. And here the Pasuk says, Asher Gozal Emu'ute Gozal Aviv She'eno Mosif. If the son doesn't have to add Chomesh Al Gezel Aviv. So again, let's just go over the scenario. This Gazlan came into Beis Din, put forth his denial, his counterclaim, took a sheker, a shvua sheker, to sustain his claim. Then he comes forward and he admits that he stole the object and that he lied under oath, so that there's no chiv kefel over here because modu b'knas is part of the kefel. So we got kefel out of the way. Then we're left with the parasha of Keren, Chomesh, and Osham. You might think that if the father dies, let the son pay the Chomesh in addition to the Keren. The Pasuk says, O Mikol Asher Yishava Olav LaSheker V'Shilem Oso Berosho V'Chamishosov Yosef Olav. Fine. So now we have a case where the Gazlan took a Shvuas Sheker, or Tonis Tanis Kanabiko, whatever it might be. And then what happened was he died. Okay, I don't know if he died because he took the shvuas sheker, that I can't tell you, but he died. And now, the Pasuk is telling me, Asher Gozal, that his son does not pick up that chiyuv chomesh on the gzeilas aviv, meaning the gzeilas atzmo mechayeves b'chomesh, but lo gzelas acherim. In this case, gzelas aviv. And it's very fascinating because that indicates, and we discussed this at great length yesterday, that chomesh is not some sort of kaparadik aloch or something like that. Just the opposite. Yeah. That chomesh is not some sort of compensation halacha, you know, like kefel or something along that line. No, we're not talking about monetary compensation. We're talking about a kapara. Who's obligated in kapara? Just like it's clear that as far as Asham is concerned, the son doesn't have to bring Asham for his father. Lo yumsu avos al bonim lo bonim al avosom. He doesn't have to bring a karbon Asham to be mechaper for the sin of his father. Maybe he'll have to say vidui, avol anachnu ve'avoseinu chatanu, right? That he'll have to say, but he doesn't bring a carbon asham. So too, he doesn't pay chomesh.
Why do they know that the asher gazel doesn't also go on the keren?
No, the keren itself is mama biyad acherim. If I'm holding on to your mama, I have to return it. The fact that someone else stole it doesn't mean that therefore I'm exempt from payment.
So it says Beishiv is gzelo asher gazel. Gzelo asher gazel. It's not his gzela.
No, this gzela asher gazel is a reference not to the chefza gazel. The chefza gazel for sure you have to return.
But he didn't. He wasn't gozel.
It doesn't matter. If let's say this belongs to you, I didn't steal it from you, I have to give it back to you. I can't hold on to it. If I hold on to it, I become a gazlan. That's as far as caring.
My only question is, why is the chiyuv on him to be meishin? It would be simpler for the basement to say that's not part of your Yerusha because it never belonged to your father. It was gzeira.
Okay, that's a good one to Shishayla. Maybe he doesn't have to return it. Petoras Hashavas Akzela, I never inherited. I don't know. But he certainly has to give the carrot back, you know, whichever.
All right.
In Cain, Frek the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that the Pasuk Asher Gazal comes Limute Gazal Aviv, that he, the son, doesn't have to pay Chomesh to the Nigzal, is Nichtov Rachmana. The Torah could have said Ve'eshiv Es Gzelo, meaning you have to pay the chomesh for your gezel, and that would clearly have indicated not the gezel of my father. Asher gozal lomali, right? Why does it say asher gozal? So the Gemara is medayik in the syntax of the phrase asher gozal. It could have said gzelo, and you might also add that gzelo is only 5 limbs, am I right? Whereas Asher Gozal is 6 limbs. So I don't know, I'm not sure if that's pshat. Is Shma Minah Tarti. In other words, we read it as such, as if it said Gzelo, Lemute Gezel Aviv, and Asher Gozal Kein Shegozal. Iko Diamri, the second Lishna, Omrav Chizdov Rav Yonason, Minayin Lishinu Sheino Kone, Shenema Veheshiv, it's like Gzelo Mikomako. No, v'aksiv asher gozal. I mean, you can't be ignorant, you know, you can't ignore the fact that the Torah added these two words, asher gozal, and we can now guess the Gemara's answer. Ha-hu mi boile shel al-gzelo shelo mosif chomesh v'yein mosif chomesh al-gezel aviv. In other words, at this point, the Lishna Basra, the Gemara is not expecting or not accepting that from Asher Gozal we derive two halachas. No. Asher Gozal is only teaching me the halacha lafuke chomesh in the case of Gozal aviv. But we don't have the additional halacha to derive from Asher Gozal and establish that Shinui is Kone. Now, we've had the sheet of Rabbah that Yeush is Kona, and Rabbah derived it from Aveda. Whether he did it on a Deraisa level, or it's a Takonas Hashovim, and it's only Derabonon, that's the Gemara's Sofek Liel. Now, we have the sheet of Rav Yosef, that Yeush is not Kona, and now Ula goes back to Rav Yosef's opinion and says, Minayin liyeish eino kona. And this is going to be the subject of this gigantic Tosfos, Omar Ula, that I mentioned before, that the sugya in Sukkah discusses mitzvah haba ba'avera. And it seems that Ula is talking about mitzvah haba ba'avera. In other words, the source for the fact that Yesh is not Konan Ula is the fact that you cannot be makriv a carbon guzzle on the Mizbeach, even though the premise is that the Nigzal was Misyayish. Why shouldn't the Gazan therefore be Konan B'Yeush? And the answer is because Yesh ain't a Konan. Does that mean that Yesh ain't a Konan in the same sense that Rav Yosef said that Yesh ain't a Konan? I don't know. It could be that Ula is saying Yesh ain't a Konan in terms of within the framework of mitzvah boba vera, and he could be talking about a psul carbon or a psul mitzvah. If he steal hadasim, you know, you want to use it for lakatim lachem, the answer is Yesh is not going to remove the psul of mitzvah boba vera. But I'm not sure if Ula, that's the discussion of this whole tosis, is going to go as far as to say that Yesh is not kona at all. So, for example, again, we're not going to learn this Tosfos here, but if you take a look at Rabbeinu Tam on the third line down, he says, "V'yomer Rabbeinu Tam, de'v'chol makom yeish kona." That Ula actually holds that yeish is kona, and he has so many proofs for that. Rak le'inyan karbon, yeish is not enough to be machshir the behema, the stolen animal, for mizbeach mishum davi mitzah bav avera. And in the light of this Rabbeinu Tam, the drush of Ula makes a lot of sense. Shenemar, he's quoting a pasuk in Malachi. Right? Malachi is the famous castigation about the way they treated the Beis Hamikdash, Bezilzul, and they would bring the lowest level of karbonos. It was like the aver of Kayan all over again, the Khushos and the Gruos. So he lashes it into them. He says, "Vavesem gazul." It's equivalent to bringing stolen animals. Es hapiseach v'sachola. You know, you bring these hinkadika animals. You know, that are lame or very sick. And the end of the pasuk says, "Vavesem es hamincha ha'artza." Ha'artze osa niyedchem. Hashem says, is this the Ritzui Karva that I want? So these Karbaras are not Ola L'Ratzah. And in this Pasuk, Malachi puts together Gazul and Pisach. Now Pisach is a physical ailment. It's irreversible. Why was Gazul put together with Pisach? And the answer is Gazul Dumya de Pisach. Ma Pisach, the Lesley Takanta Klal. Is he on top of some of Zion on the base? Af guzzle de lesle takanta loshno lifne yeush veloshno liachar yeush. Here's where Ula asked the question: can I be misakein this animal in such a way that it could be royal of his back? Well, Gazul, excuse me, Pisach, I cannot, no way, no how, could I be machshir l'mizbeach? It's a mum kavua, as we call it, and that's irreversible. So too, gzela becomes a mum kavua, and it's not reversible, which means that even if the bailim are misyayish, nevertheless, that yeush, although it may be chal, and generate many new dinim as far as hashavas gzela are concerned, etc., etc., and maybe even the ganav could now go ahead and give truma from this chitin that he stole, but nevertheless, it still remains pasul a mitzvah because of the psul of mitzvah baba ver. That's how Rabbeinu Tam understands the sugya of Ula. The Ri disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and he holds that according to Ula, b'chol makom yeish lo kani. That's why the Ri in Tosfos has to go back. And for Emphra, all these rayas that indicate that according to Ula Yeush is Kona. But again, if we keep in mind this sugya of mitzvah baba vera, and then we plug it in back to the sugya that we started with on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, with the brisa of Truma son Truma, Hegdesh and Hegdesh, and we say that Rashi, strangely enough, had to say that it's also Banah. It makes sense that Rashi would not go one step further and allow you to bring this carbon on the Mizbeach, because Rashi is going according to the opinion of Yosef and certainly Ula that hold that even though Ula according to Rabbeinu Tam, that even if Yeush is Kona, but it's not enough of a Kinyan to remove the psul of Mitzvah Baba Vera and qualify this Behema for Mizbeach. Also keep in mind that according to Rabbah, Yeush is Kone in Gzela, but only, well, the Gemara vacillates on this, but according to one side in Rabbah, Yeush is Kone Baveda, I'm sorry, Bigzela, only Midrabbanim Shum Takonis HaShavim. They wanted to make it easier for the Gazlan, so they enticed them to do tshuva, and they said, you know what? You can keep the object, the stolen object. You don't have to run around the whole world and find it and retrieve it. You can do tshuva without that. And therefore, they recognized Yeush. But that's only the Rabbanah. It means that even Rabbah agrees that Yeush is not Kodeh Bigzela D'Oraisa. It's not similar to Aveda. And if that be the case, how could it be that the Braisa maintains that the Gazlan could go ahead and be Magdish, the Karbon, Limizbeach, Hegdesh on Hegdesh? So Rashi says, no. We're only talking about what? An Isra Anah. B'chas v'shon to bring this Behema onto the Mizbeach. It's Pashit Chulin Lazara, because on a Deraisa level, there's no, the Torah doesn't recognize the Kinyan Yeush. So I'm just pointing out to you, Rabosai, that there are many different ways of understanding Rashi here on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and why he refuses to accept what would have been the simple, straightforward pshat of Hegdesh on Hegdesh. And the answer is, according to Rav Yosef, according to Ula, because there is no Kinyan Yeush to be Mafkia Mitzvah Baba Vera. And even according to Rabbah, who recognizes Yeush in Kinyan Gzela, but that's only perhaps on a Drabbana level. That can't be Machsha the Karbon, Limizbeah.
So you're saying that it's also Bana only Drabbana, according to Rashi?
No, I'm saying on a Deraisa level, if Yeush doesn't operate, then. Oh, you're talking about the Isra Anah?
Yeah,
the Isra Anah is only the Rabbanah. Because once the Rabbanah accepted Yeush and validated Yeush, then you have a shame Hegdesh through Yeush that's only the Rabbanah. Rava Amar Mehach, and we'll just finish this up, and we'll go to Dav Mincha. Rava says, I have a different source for Ula's conclusion, that Yeush is not Kone B'Gzela. The Torah says, and this is Alan, what you were quoting before, in the parasha at the very beginning of Vayikra, it says, Im Ola Karbano, Karbano Velo HaGozel. What do you mean Velo HaGozel? If he steals someone's Karbon, how could you even have a Havamina that he could be Magdish the Karbon Amos? Ilem Lifnei Yeush Pshita, it's not his, Lomali Kra, why do you have to dash in Karbano Velo HaGozel? The answer is, this is not a problem of Eino Demagdish Tov Shaloh El Lavli Acher Yeush, and therefore through Yeush he was Kone and he can be Magdish it. Shmami no Yeush lo Kone.
Shmami no.
Right. Frek the Gemara of our Rava, who the Omer Rava back on Samach Vav was the one who said that the price over there was talking about Gazal Karbon the Chavre. Which means that after his friend was Magdish the Karbon Lizbeach, the Gazlan can't be Koneh through Yeush. Why? Because Hegdesh is not Nigzal. It's called Hegdesh the Isa Bebe Gazlan Rachmoni Isa. But if he stole a Bebe Schul and he was Magdish, it Rav apparently holds that if there was Yeush, then the animal is Ksheril the Karbon. Eboy Sabin Gemara says, I cannot reconcile these various statements of Rava. Hadarbai, Rava must have changed his mind. Ibois Ema Rava never said it. Chad Minayu, who said, I don't know which one, but Rav Papa Amara. One of them was said by Rav Papa, and it was certainly not the Shita of.
Why do they have to say they can come to exactly the opposite conclusion? You can say Rav would hold that Yeush is Kona, but there's Exeris Apostle that says that it had to be Shalom before the Kinyan.